Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guests, Celia Mendez and Aurora Martinez, who are pastoral workers with Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi, particularly the Office for Persons with Disability. How are you, ladies?
Fine.
Doing good.
Thank you.
Well, I'm very excited to have you here. I know we've had some interaction in the past with some trainings for persons with disabilities, and it was so joy-filled to be able to see how we minister to people with disabilities. So again, I'm happy that you're here and that you're taking the time with us this Sunday morning to let us know a bit more about what you have to offer. Before we get started with that, though, can we start with Celia? Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, I started working with the office back when I was in high school. Started volunteering. At that time, Father Walsh was the pastor for the Office for Disabilities. And the reason that I became involved with the program is because I have three in the family who are deaf. I have two brothers and a sister who is deaf. And that's how I became part of the ministry.
Well, thank you for sharing, Celia. I understand now why you got involved in ministry, because that is a pretty personal reason. You do have people in your family that have disabilities. So thank you for sharing. What about you, Aurora? Why did you get involved in this type of ministry?
Well, I got started because my husband was helping Father Walsh. He used to drive the, what they call the Big Bluebird. It was a big bus, and my husband would take all the persons with disabilities to a camp at Camp Medina, and I would go with him since I wasn't working. So that's how I started, by volunteering with Father Walsh. And soon after that, he asked me if I would be willing to come and work with the office part-time. So I said, sure, I would love to, you know, since I already knew a lot of the families and a lot of the kids that were in the program. So I started working with him, and it's very challenging.
I hear so many stories where it was a personal invitation to ministry. So in this case, Father Walsh invited you to join on a part-time and a more formal basis. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yes.
Thank you, ladies, for sharing. Now, let's go ahead and move on to the Office for Persons with Disabilities. What would you say is the mission or vision statement for that office?
Well, our mission is to proclaim the gospel through educational, spiritual, pastoral, and sacramental and social programs, especially for persons with special needs, whether it be deafness or blindness or with mental challenges. We try to provide the programs where they can come and be comfortable, you know, and to understand the love of Christ.
So we're looking at not just meeting them spiritually, but educationally, pastorally, and preparing them even for the sacraments, which I can imagine is different from the regular religious education program.
Yes, I can remember when we first started the program, a lot of the parents, you know, and this happens all the time, a lot of the parents don't think that their child can receive the sacrament because of their disability. Maybe they cannot speak, or mentally they cannot understand, or at least they feel that they cannot understand. But each individual, they show the love of Christ in a different way, you know. They don't have to memorize their prayers. I mean, as long as they you know, take the cross and caress it or hug it, that's that's showing that they understand and that they love Christ. And I don't see why we should limit them or we should prohibit them from receiving the body of Christ. So, no, we try to take them at whatever level they are and just embrace them and show them the love of Christ.
Very beautifully said.
And then at the same time, they show us, you know, a lot of times we learn from them.
Well, I can imagine the innocence in picking up that cross and caressing it and really showing the love for Christ, maybe without even saying a word.
Without saying a word. A lot of them cannot speak, but you see it in their eyes. You see it in their actions, the way they sometimes even when they see us. I know Aurora and I, you know, sometimes go do home visits. And they might not speak a lot, but as soon as they see us, they fold their hands because they know that we are there to teach them about Jesus.
That's amazing.
That's what has kept us, I think, in this ministry for so long.
I can imagine
that we receive from them.
And I can imagine that sometimes it might get a bit challenging because you're meeting them where they're at, but perhaps one method for one child doesn't work with the other child. You really have to take them on an individual basis. Would you agree with that?
Yes, yes.
You know, there's a couple of trains of thought that I'll offer, and one is, and this is from my experience, that we could simply offer the sacraments for persons with disability with little to no training. But then there's another train of thought where and this was a recent training I went to for students with autism, children with autism. And this one particular lady went for many years on a journey with this one child with autism, 8, 9, 10 years, until he really and truly understood what the Eucharist was and he was able to receive. And I enjoyed that commitment. I enjoyed that thoroughness that she had with this one particular child. And I can see you all working in that fashion with these children. Aurora, can you tell me some of the other services that you provide in this office?
Yes. We also provide weekly interpreted masses in American Sign Language for the deaf, weddings, quinceañeras, funerals, etc., monthly masses and social for persons with special needs, sacramental preparation classes in their own level, in their own language and level of understanding, and annual picnics and summer camps for persons with special needs, weekly educational and recreational classes, educational workshops, life skill activities. We have a lot to offer for all these people.
I was going to say you all are pretty busy.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little more about the socials that you have for persons with special needs?
Well, you know, we have educational classes. On Mondays, we have a group of adult deaf ladies that attend a class. And this class is an educational class. We have arts and crafts, but we also have reading and writing. We have spelling tests. We have a lot of sewing. They do a lot of projects, not only for themselves, but also for the community. You know, we've done a lot of bags for the Bishop's Guild and also for the Mother Teresa shelter.
So they have opportunities to socialize, but they're also developing some skills in the meantime.
They are, you know, and this is a place where they enjoy coming because it's a place where they can communicate. I mean, at home, the families might not thoroughly know the sign language. They might not be able to communicate. There is a language barrier, even at their own homes. And when they come to this Monday class, they're able to communicate with each other and socialize. They look forward to that.
Well, Celia, if you don't mind me asking, since you did mention a little bit about how you got involved in this ministry, there might be people in the audience who have family members with disabilities. What were some of the ways that you learned how to interact with your family? Did you attend sign language classes? Was there something that we could, some tricks of the trade that we can offer our audience?
I think just patience, just time. Just take the time to sit down and talk to the person, you know. communicate. You know, even if you don't understand the language, like with the deaf, even if you don't know sign language, if you just try to communicate, they're very loving and they'll respond back.
I like how you said that, patience.
Patience.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Monsignor Thomas McGettrick, pastor of St. Andrew-by-the-Sea Catholic Church on the island, has written two books, Inspired by Others and A Chat with Jesus, which is in both English and Spanish. You're invited to meet Monsignor McGettrick, have a cup of coffee, and get your book signed by him on Saturday, May 19th at the Catholic Bookstore on the campus of Our Lady of Corpus Christi, 1200 Lantana, you know, in the shadow of the Blue Dome. Proceeds from the book sales benefit Our Lady of Corpus Christi. For more information, call 289-9095.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guests, Celia Mendez and Aurora Martinez, pastoral workers for the Office for Persons with Disabilities. It's been a pleasure speaking with you all, but there's one thing that I'd really like to know, and that's how this office began. So can you give me a little bit of the history of this office?
Well, it started back in the early 1980s. There was a priest by the name of Father David Walsh. He was a Redemptorist priest. He was the director of the National Office for the Deaf in Washington, D.C., and the Texas Knights of Columbus asked him to come and minister to the deaf in South Texas. And he accepted the offer, and he was stationed here in Corpus Christi because at that time there was a Redemptorist group here. He started working with the deaf, and soon after, Bishop Gracida asked him to not only minister to the deaf, but also to include all persons with disabilities. And that's when the Office for Persons with a Disability started.
Once he got invited by Bishop Gracida, he continued forward and built this office?
He worked very hard. Yes, he did. We did a lot of home visits. He had us working with him, and the program started.
Established personnel such as yourselves, established clientele, and again, the rest is history. So I'm glad to know that we have Bishop Gracida involved. He invited, again, there's that personal invitation. He invited Father Walsh to dedicate pretty much, I'm sure, his life to this ministry. Because
yes,
it is his life's work. And now we have an office that is pretty multi-talented, to say the least, because I understand you do minister to a variety of people. We speak about people that are deaf, people that have special, perhaps mental disabilities, people that are visually impaired. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, let's then talk about some of those activities. We did touch upon them briefly before the first segment. And we have things such as living and learning, living independently and productively, and Fun Day, which I'm excited to hear about. But we'll start with Celia. Can you tell me, Celia, about living and learning? What are you all doing there?
Living and learning is a class that is held on Mondays, and it's for adult deaf ladies. And it's a place where they come and socialize. They can communicate in their own language. We do a lot of arts and crafts. We do sewing. And we also do a lot of educational activities. And this class has been going on for at least 20 years.
Wow.
At least 20 years. And these ladies have been very dedicated to the class. They're there every Monday. And this year they have asked us to have a graduation party.
That sounds exciting.
You know, a lot of these ladies never graduated. A lot of these ladies never went to school. And they want to have a graduation party. And I thought, well, you know, that they deserve it. They deserve it. So we're planning a graduation ceremony. It's more like an appreciation for all their hard work and their dedication. And the ladies are all excited, and they range from the ages 30 to our oldest is 83 years old.
That's wonderful. So I'm sure they've built some relationships amongst themselves.
Oh, yes. We're a family. we're a family, you know. They're a Catholic Charities. We're a family.
You say graduation, and I think of prom. Maybe they want a prom.
Well, you know what? They want a limo ride, too.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thanks for sharing about living and learning. Now, let's move on to some other activities, Aurora. Can you tell me about the Living Independently and Productively classes that you offer?
Yes. These are the visually impaired and the blind that we have this program for. And what we do is pick them up, or they come in the B bus, and we have educational also in the morning. We try to make all our programs to be educational first thing in the morning. And then after that, well, we go into, you know,
the
dances
fun stuff.
Or, yeah, games or whatever. But even our games, they're all educational. We let them know what numbers they have and where they're at in their cards. And then when we're passing out the card numbers, they know if they have it and they know where they have it, and they get all excited. And we have some that have little pictures and all kinds of little things that we do with them. And we also have outings, and some of them like computers. And we have a computer that speaks to them, and some of them that will go into the computer and do some typing in there. They do whatever they know, because some of these people have gone to school. They go to school in Austin, I believe, and they learn quite a bit over there. They learn skills. They learn all kinds of things. So now we have them in our program. So others that come into it that have not gone to school, they learn from them.
I see.
We become family. All of our programs we consider family because we've been there for a long time and we know each other. We know their families. They know a lot about us. So it's very exciting. They have been taught Braille as well, all kinds of teachings that they have had before, and they're bringing them into our program to teach others. Some of them might just be coming blind and they're scared.
Oh boy.
So they come into our program, and here they find, you know, what they need. Someone to understand them, someone that can talk to them and tell them, this is how I got over my blindness that I couldn't deal with. Now I'm able to deal with it. And they teach them how to eat. I never knew this, but in a plate, when you put food in a plate, you have the 12, the 1, the 2. They go according to the clock where they put the food.
Because they cannot see.
Because they cannot see. That's very, very exciting to know that people can really help you to
overcome.
Know how to deal,
yeah,
with your blindness.
Well, it's amazing. And what you're saying, I'm imagining that people come to you for life skills when things like this occur in their life. But they also need their self-esteem to be boosted. And they need someone to have confidence in them because they're experiencing a disability that they perhaps might not have had before. You know, you mentioned that there's people that perhaps as they're getting older start to lose their eyesight.
Right.
I remember working with people that had Alzheimer's or dementia. And even something as basic as putting a bead through a thread to make a bracelet was very difficult because they've lost some of those skills. So, and with you saying that in order for them to eat, they look at the clock, look at the 12, the 3, the 6, the 9, and that gives them an idea of where their food is. That's just amazing.
Yes.
So you all are doing a wonderful ministry and a wonderful service. Let me ask you, you do have Fun Day every Wednesday. And what is Fun Day about?
Fun Day is basically pretty much the same that in the morning is educational. But since this people can see, you know, we go into math, we go to reading. We have people, we have volunteers that help us in the morning. They work with money because a lot of our people, they like to buy things. They like to go places, you know, and they need to know how to handle money. So we teach them about that as well.
So again, going back to those life skills.
Yes, yes. And we do everything is educational. Like I say, a lot of it is games as well. That's why they love to come on Wednesdays. They look forward to coming because it's not just paperwork. It's games. We bring it into games. And in the afternoon, we have bingo. They love to play bingo and win little prizes. And we try to have prizes for them. And also, we end up with a dance. Because all of them are
so
dancers.
You dance on
they
Wednesdays.
Love to dance. And once a month, we have a party,
okay,
which we celebrate everybody's birthday, and we have a DJ. That's something that they don't want to miss.
That they look forward to.
Yes.
Well, I can imagine, ladies, that you have your hands full, but it's such a blessing to know that women as dedicated as you and men and priests and bishops,
yes,
are in the field of ministering to people with disabilities. If people have questions about what your office does or needs some assistance, where can you direct them?
They can call us at Catholic Charities at 361-884-0651.
Thank you again, ladies, for being with us on Labors of Love, and may God continue to bless your ministry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org. Or by U.S. Mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
A friend recently shared a story about her brother with me. In the course of the story, she exclaimed, "My brother is so judgmental." Based on her story, I tended to agree with her. Nonetheless, her words struck a chord deep within my heart as I thought of the many times I have made similar remarks. How many times in a day do we make judgments about others, and how many times are those judgments negative? You might complain about a coworker who talks loudly on the phone because it seems that they're being disrespectful to you and your fellow workers. While that may be true, it may also be that they are hard of hearing and don't realize how loud they are speaking. We might see a person we think is homeless standing on the corner with a sign asking for money or work, and we think to ourselves, there are plenty of jobs out there if they really wanted to work. He's just lazy. Why should I give him money? Let him earn his keep just like I do. Consider that if we live long enough, almost every one of us will go through a period of unemployment sometime in our life. If you were desperate for a job, would you be willing to hold a sign asking for work? Or would you ask friends or seek other means to find one? Our methods might be different, but the need is the same as that of the person holding the sign. Jesus asked his followers, "Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the beam in your own eye?" As my friend concluded her story, I silently asked myself the question, "And who judged the brother as being judgmental?" The Catechism of the Catholic Church describes rash judgment as assuming the moral fault of another to be true without sufficient foundation. It also says that the evaluation of conditions for moral legitimacy belongs to prudent judgment. All too often, we assume the right to make judgments about others while we fail to make the same judgment about our own life. Shortly before he asked his disciples about the splinter in their brother's eye, Jesus told them that the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is sound, your body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your body will be in darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great will the darkness be? How dark would life be with a beam in our eye? Jesus also said, "You have heard you shall not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment." He was speaking of the judgment of God, not the judgment of men. After all, who are we to judge? May God fill your heart with charity for others and the humility to recognize the beam in your own eye, and may He grant you prudence to see truth as you seek your place in the labors of His love. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guests, Celia Mendez and Aurora Martinez, pastoral workers for Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi, Office for Persons with Disabilities. If you would like more information, please call them at 361-884-0651, or for upcoming activities, visit their website at www.catholiccharities-cc.org. Thanks again for joining us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.